Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun as it relates to having a healthier, happier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you all for joining us. Today we have Idaho's 8th District Senator, Senator Stephen Thane. He's here to discuss how we can break the cycle of poverty and homelessness by dealing with three issues, which are poverty, education, and healthcare. And our first guest today is Jackie Woodside. She is the author of the Amazon 5-star rated book, Money Vibe, Your Financial Freedom Roadmap. You're going to want to be here for that. And we're going to be talking about how to avoid those costly romance scams. We have a whole segment dedicated to that. In fact, that cost people over $200 million last year. And so much of it goes unreported. We want to make sure everybody knows what's happened so it doesn't ruin their life. Our first guest is Jackie Woodside. She is a certified professional coach, licensed psychotherapist. She's been doing that for 30 years. She's authored 3 best-selling books, over 25 coaching curriculums. Her book, Money Vibe, Your Financial Freedom Formula. By the way, she has one book called Calming the Chaos. It was rated in the top 10 by Inc. magazine. It's one of the top motivational books of 2015. Jackie trains coaches to deliver programs designed to radically improve people's relationship with time, money, and stress. She offers professional development, training, retreats, and keynote speeches. Jackie's worked with major corporations, universities. She's worked with governments, civil sector work, as well as many others. What I really like about Jackie is her mission. Her mission is to raise the vibe of the planet, creating a world where love prevails. I think that's wonderful. Jackie, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Hey, Steve. It's really good to see you again.
Yes, it is. You look good there.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm all in my podcast attire. I'm ready to go.
It's funny. When it airs on the radio, nobody's going to see us. So I can say, hey, I have a face for radio.
Yeah. You got your boxer shorts on.
I'd like to do is just first start talking about everybody has a vibe. What is everybody's vibe?
Gosh, let's just dive right in, right? So you know that feeling when you go to a party and you see somebody across the room and you're just like, I know what it is about them. I just like their vibe, right? You know that feeling. Or maybe you have the opposite experience where you go and you're like, not so sure what it is about that person, right? I don't dig their vibe. I don't know. So we've used that word colloquially for a long time, you know, their vibe. But now science is actually showing us that there is something behind that. And what I say your vibe is, or the other phrase I use is your consciousness, which is the way that you think and feel and what you believe creates a vibratory pattern around you. So if we were to hook you up to an EEG and then you think certain thoughts, you go into meditation, you would see certain vibratory pattern. Then you watch a violent movie, your brain waves would actually emit a very different pattern. So that understanding that everything is energy, meaning molecules in motion. And the way that you think and feel and believe creates an energy around you. I say it's your beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts. If you follow that along, beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts, it's BEAT. So I like to say your beat creates your vibe that creates your life.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, make it simpler for people to understand.
Well, I was envisioning that when you were talking about it and saying, you know what? Everybody's got a different vibe and they attract different people.
Right.
And whether it be positive or negative, or I want to say my son's an engineer, so I want to say egghead, so to speak. And, you know, he attracts those people because they talk a certain way. And you have certain people who are enthusiastic and they like people who are enthusiastic, or they like people who are not enthusiastic because they get annoyed with people like themselves.
Right. Exactly. No, like attracts like on the energetic plane. People who are like one another are drawn to each other, not in a romantic way, although it can have that outcome, but you tend to gravitate toward people who think like, feel like, believe like, talk like, you know, who are like you. And there's science behind that. So what I say is understanding and managing your vibe is kind of the holy grail, if you will, of creating a great life.
I think that's wonderful. I believe in positive expectancy.
Yes.
So that's very true. I am very attracted by people who have that same positive expectancy for growth, development. Yeah. I've run a few companies and that's us. So
that's one of the things I teach in my Money Vibe book. So it's interesting that you said that. You know, one of the things I teach is you have to live in the energy, the 4E formula, the energy of enthusiasm, excitement, and expectancy. So yeah, that's in my book. That's actually one of the tenets in my book of helping people understand that the more you manage your vibe, the more that life changes. But anyway, it's just interesting that you said that positive expectancy, because it is a key.
Yeah, you know what?
That's what I was telling you. You have the Midas touch. Maybe that's why, because you live with that. You live with that positive expectancy.
You're so nice.
It's true. And you're very humble.
Well, I wish I had the Midas touch with my hairline, but it hasn't worked out. It is what it is. So here's the thing. I know you don't have a background in money like I do. And we're talking about Money Vibe. And I think it'd be great for our audience for you to share your story with money.
Right. So interesting, Steve, you say I don't have a background in money. Well, we all have a background in money, right? We all have a money story, but not everyone has a background in finance like you do. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you do about managing money or investing money or how to make money grow or be secure with money. I don't know. That whole domain is not mine. But I do have a money story just like you do and everyone else. And what I found is that your money story, when it's unconscious, often creates your money future. So my money story is that I grew up with a single mom. My mom was widowed when I was 2 years old. So a single mom with three kids and a high school education in a very rural area. And so we were of very little economic means. In fact, my first money memory was when my mom was paying bills at the kitchen table one day. And my brother and sister and I wanted to go see a little matinee movie at our central school where they were going to do the big reel and show the movies for kids. And it was 25 cents for each kid. And mom was just like, ugh. She couldn't have the money for that. So I heard her rustling in the kitchen and she was reaching up to the top cabinet and pulling down the big blue Maxwell House coffee can. Do you know what was in that coffee can?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Filled with coins, right? Pennies. Mm-hmm. She took it down and rolled three rolls of pennies so my brother and sister and I could attend the movie. And what that imprinted on me was, this money, money's tough, but we're just going to get by. And that became the theme of my life all the way through when I graduate school, right before graduate school, I was literally homeless and went through a period of my life that I was homeless. So I say my money story is that I went from homeless to seven figures. And I say that with all humility, not like, oh, look at me, I'm all that great. You know, no, I learned a lot about the inner game of money and how to transform. Oh man, money, it's tough, but I'm just getting by. Two, I am always in the flow of goodness and energy and money, and I give and receive.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. Now, what prompted you to write the book about the Money Vibe book?
Partially my own experience, right? My own life experience and struggling with it, partially because I was a coach and a psychotherapist for 30 years. I'm still a coach, no longer a psychotherapist. And I saw how much stress and upset and whatnot that money causes people. In fact, I just saw an article, I think it was on CNN just today, that a lot of the people that were involved in the insurrection at our Capitol building were people who have financial stress and financial difficulties.
Oh.
So I got to see, both as a therapist and as a coach, the impact that money has on people's lives. And I felt like I had some things to say and to teach about it because I was that. My God, money's tough, but I'm just going to get by. That stress, that pressure. And then understanding that if you change your consciousness or elevate your money vibe, you can A, create a life with more money, but B, no financial freedom, whether you have money or not, because freedom isn't an outer state, it's an inner state. Mm-hmm. So because my commitment in life is to raise the vibe on the planet, I basically choose hotspots that people have, difficult stress areas. I wrote a book on time. I wrote a book on money. I wrote a book on change. All of them are about how to master your inner world about these different topics that are very difficult for people in our world and in our culture.
What would would be some of the steps that somebody would want to take in order to master their inner world as it relates to money?
Great, great question. So one of the things that that I have people identify is what language they have. What do they most often think or feel? So the first thing is get really, really aware. What is your money vibe? For most people, when I ask that, what do you most often say or think about money? It's like, oh, I don't have enough. I'm just getting by. Like that sense. And you can feel the constriction in that energy. So shifting from that sense of constriction and like, oh, it's so difficult, it's so hard, to a sense of living in the 4E formula, the energy of enthusiasm, excitement, and expectancy. How you do that is when you notice yourself, what I call low vibe states of stress and anxiety and worry and upset and resentment, whatever, that energy, to practice what I call the 3 C's. You want me to go into that or you want to ask
please.
Me?
Please, yes.
The 3 C's, and it's simple, but it's not easy. So it's a simple formula. It just see the thought, catch that, oh, like, oh, God, there it is again. That's what that Jackie girl was talking about. There's that low vibe feeling about money. Challenge it. Like, hey, look, is that how you want to feel about money? Is that how you want to feel in your life? Do you want to have this kind of stress? Do you have to live this way? Talking back to it, challenging that thought. And then lastly, changing it. What else is possible? What else could you say, think, and feel about money? Well, I could say that financial freedom is an inside job, that I really do have my needs met because I'm right here. I have clothes on my back and there's some food in my fridge. Like really challenging those inner low vibe states and elevating them to higher vibe states.
It's almost like getting somebody to realize you're doing okay. You need to be grateful for where you're at.
Gratitude is another strategy.
And then start thinking about it in a different vein. Because one of the questions I love to ask people is, what's your first experience with money?
Yep.
And it usually comes from mom and dad giving them something for, you know, doing work, or because they got some sort of allowance, whether they did something or not for it. Or I've had actually people say, you know what, I've met people from the Depression. Their whole thing is, hey, we're going to use it up, wear it out, and figure out another purpose for it. And one lady had told me, she goes, yeah, my dad had a lot of long sleeve shirts that turned into short sleeve work shirts over time. Or I'm sorry, pajamas to short sleeve work shirts, and then they became rags. So I see that. Now, in the process of somebody, because I've seen people, they live their parents' life from a money perspective.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at that, you say, okay, how can I un-ingrain this into somebody and change?
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is take a break and talk to you about that next. Is that okay?
All right. Awesome. Yeah.
Cool. Hey, stick with us. This is the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be back with Jackie Woodside. This is wonderful.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I just want to take 1 minute before we get back with Jackie to truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. Hey, we just hit over 337,000 listeners. I'm very thankful for that. I appreciate you all listening. Hey, by the way, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insights on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show, and check out a few of our affiliates like UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, and all those networks that are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Jackie, hey, welcome back to the show. I appreciate you being here. I'd just like to get back into that money discussion that we were having.
Let's do it. So you were asking me about the how to, how do you make this shift? So it sounds like what I'm saying to you intuitively makes sense to you. That if you walk around all like and worried and angry and resentful and that it's almost like you're taking the garden hose and cinching it off so that the flow of money, why do we call it currency, right? Mm-hmm. The flow of this money currency can't come to you because you're in this constricted, angry state. Oh, you've got the blinders on. So how do you get over here to this energy of enthusiasm, excitement, and expectancy? You know, one of the things you pointed to already is just, what are you focused on? The problems that we have in America, most of the world would love to have our problems, right? So are you focused? Most people focus on lack and insufficiency about money. So one of the exercises I have people do is just go around your house and take note of all of the things that you have an abundance of. The key is being grateful. Being grateful for what you have and starting there is a way to elevate yourself. But what do you already have an abundance of? You know, I have an abundance of winter socks and boots and athletic equipment and friends and love and food. And, you know, we have so much abundance, but we focus on lack. You get what you focus on. So when you shift your focus from scarcity and lack to abundance and prosperity, you get more of that. That's more how the energy shows up. So there's one. There's so many I can say to you. I'll say a couple more, but then I want to tell people an exercise, an experiment that I have online that people can do for free. So another one is to get underneath, what is it that you value about money? And are you living those values with how you spend your money? Because a lot of people spend money in ways that, like, you know, do they really care that much about that new purse or that new, you know, so are your values in life aligned with how you're spending your money? That's the second one. Third one is, and this is so important, what do you actually believe about money in life? My belief that drove me for years, decades into my adult life, money is hard and I'm just getting by. That was my fundamental belief. I replicated that in college when I worked two or three jobs, had a basketball scholarship and a double major. It was hard, but I was just getting by. Then graduate school, working awake overnights and doing medical research on my body so that I get paid a few $100 here and there. While I was in graduate school, it was hard, but I was just getting by. So changing that fundamental belief that you have about money to now I'm in the flow. How do you change that is recognizing the abundance that you have and being grateful and then deciding, is that the belief you want to have in life? No, what's that going to give me? Changing that belief slowly over time with using the three C's. So those are the three C's, catch it, challenge it, and change it. When you notice that belief,
challenge it and change it. Perfect.
Catch it, challenge it, change it. What I want to tell people is online, I have something called the 30-Day Money Vibe Challenge that actually proves what I'm showing to you. And it's 30 days for people to choose an amount of unexpected income they want to bring into their life. And then every day they get an email from me with an action, an affirmation, and an intention. And that's all you do. Do that action. It takes 5 minutes. It's a simple thing. Hold an intention, say the affirmation, and then watch to see, am I focusing? Am I creating more money to come into my life? And I've done it with hundreds of people. And it's incredible to see the inflow of money that people have in their lives.
That's almost like feeding the good wolf.
It's feeding the good wolf. Exactly. Yeah, I just said that to my son the other night. What wolf are you going to feed here?
Yes. We see it all the time with this pandemic and the news media. Just to be very candid, my wife, who got stuck at home and she's watching the news media and it got her hooked and all that stuff. And she was the most anxious person. Her heart rate was up the whole shot. And people get that way about their money. I know people that have hundreds of millions of dollars and they think it's all going to be gone tomorrow. Exactly. And that's the wrong vibe or the wrong thought they should have. And they need to start feeding their brain. And I like that where you say, hey, here's an action, here's an affirmation.
And an intention. Three things each day.
That's like feeding yourself, hey, I'm going to take action. Here's the affirmation for doing the right thing. It's great. I love that.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful and easy to do, to see how the shift in consciousness, shift in focus changes your outcome and changes the experience.
Working with people in advanced tax planning and sometimes as a business coach, I see those people that are so worried about how that business is going to grow. And I start talking to him. I said, what would you like to expect? Where would you like to see it grow? How would you go about doing that? Now that you have a plan, you can positively expect that to occur. You know, I have a little, hey, what'd you get done this week? Oh, this is great. Do you see the improvement yet? Not really. So where could you see the improvement now? And I get them to go look, and they start looking, and they go, oh, I see it in the attitude of the people that are working with me.
Right?
And it's just little by little.
Expectancy. You know, just this week, Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl, and his teammates said one of the reasons that they won is that Tom made them believe they could win.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent a group text message to the entire team every single day at like 11 at night and 5 in the morning saying, we're going to win this. We've got this. You've got to believe we've got this. So if you said to your clients, you know, this is your 7-figure plan and we're going to get there, and you keep instilling that in them and they develop that belief, that is what they will absolutely create and move toward.
Oh yeah. Well, you're not going to achieve anything if you think you're going to fall in the gutter.
Exactly. You're going to create what you believe.
I love that. So,
and if you believe in scarcity and lack, you will continue to create that.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are, I call them negative nillies.
Yeah. Exactly. It takes something, you know, to shift your vibe from being a negative Nelly to being, you know, kind of a high vibe, high energy person. But it's the quality of your life depends on it.
I also want to say one thing. I think it's really important that people start looking at ways to eliminate negativity from their life, whether it be watching the TV.
Right, what you consume.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize if you look at network news, it's a blood sport.
Yeah, it's
a blood sport. It's about how bad can we make this so people watch, they get anxious, they get greedy, they get upset. And that's how we're going to get our ratings and sell stuff. And the reality is you have to get away from that. You kind of say, hey, it's not worth my time, because the reality is you can't change what's happening right now in the White House.
In fact, as a culture, we live, and consciousness research has proven this, as a culture, we live kind of in this low vibe of survival and stress mentality. Mm-hmm. That's the lens through which mainstream America, most people in the country, see life, because we're fed that all the time. As you said, what wolf are you feeding? So when you're given that steady stream of negativity and anxiety and worry and fraught with division, that becomes your filter for the world. So be very mindful about what media you consume and what kind of people you're around.
I was going to just say that, because there's some people, they love the world of commiseration.
Yes, right.
And it was interesting. I have a brother who's got stage 4 melanoma cancer, and you know, maybe have a couple months, but my sister was telling me just last night about somebody else that she had helped through sort of the same situation.
Yeah.
The gentleman has 2 months to live, and people are calling him, telling him how bad their life. And he go, I got 2 months to live. Get away from me.
Real?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's just very interesting. So Jackie, we have about a minute left. I'd like for you to say, hey, this is my message that I have for people. And then I'd like to have you tell us where we can go about getting your book, Money Vibe, how people can get in contact with you. Because I love your message and I love how you help people.
Thank you so much, Steve. So my message is raise the vibe and let's create a world that works for everyone, a world where love prevails. Really, your path to financial freedom is knowing that you're fine, and that you'll always have freedom, whether you have money or not, because freedom is a state of mind and a state of consciousness. So that's my message to the world. And first of all, people can do the money challenge, the 30-day money vibe challenge, by going to moneyvibemethod.com/30-day-challenge. So moneyvibemethod.com, and you will find it. You can also find me at jackiewoodside.com. And I have a Facebook group around money that I would love people to know about. It's called Money Vibe Mastery Facebook group.
Money Vibe Mastery on Facebook. Perfect.
Money Vibe Mastery on Facebook, 30-day challenge at moneyvibemethod.com, or just find me at jackiewoodside.com.
Jackie, thanks for joining us today. I love your message. I love what you're doing. And we'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
All right, great. I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
I'd like to welcome everybody back to the show. This is Steve Sexton, host of Saving with Steve. We have an announcement today. We got our numbers for January. We had over 337,000 listeners. We're very excited with that. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. And by the way, check out our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. You can get involved with the Insiders Club. You can get replays at savingwithsteve.us. What I'd like to do is welcome our next guest. Our next guest is Senator Stephen Thane of the 8th District of Idaho. I want to thank you all for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm a state senator. Some people think that senators are the ones that go to Washington, D.C., and I'm not one of those.
You would probably be stuck in a different type of place right now, because my understanding is that trial's going all day long. So, and that's probably an entirely different circus. So
that it is, I'm sure.
We're here to talk with Senator Stephen Thane about his views on curing homelessness, poverty. And he's looking at doing it through three issues that are poverty, education, and healthcare. I think these are really interesting and very important issues. And I think it's also very important that our listeners understand what's going on, because there's far-reaching effects for money. With that, again, I want to welcome you to the show, Senator Thane. What I'd like to do is just start out by, why are you interested in the three issues of poverty, education, and healthcare?
Well, that's a great question. And the reason is because a peaceful society, a prosperous society, is based upon the people in the society. And so quite often we get thinking, well, the government has all the answers. Well, the government has an important role, but sometimes we get thinking, well, the government can do this, create this program, when in fact, if we really want to have a peaceful, prosperous society, we need to focus on increasing the number of families that can take care of their own needs. And so that's why education plays into this. You know, in most states, about half the money raised in the state through taxes is spent on education. And what's education designed to do? It's designed to help us become productive adults, help us earn an income so that we can take care of our own needs. So that's one reason I'm interested in education.
Okay, so when it comes to poverty, I just got to say this, because when we originally spoke, I heard what you told me and I started doing some research, and I found out that you receive an income if you're below a certain poverty level. But once Correct. You hit that certain poverty level, then you stop receiving that income and then you've got to do it yourself. And the reality is that income really doesn't allow anybody to really prosper, grow. They kind of end up falling back. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's one of the things that happen that we're facing is, and we really need to fix, is somewhere around about 140% of the federal poverty level, food stamps drop off, yet it takes more close to 200% of the federal poverty level before people are making enough money to really pay their own expenses and pay rent and have a car and transportation. So it's that gap that I'd like to work on, is finding those people that want to move off of poverty and giving them a little bit of help through private means mostly to gain employable skills or whatever their particular issue is, so that they can reach that point that they can be independent and not fall back into poverty. So one thing about poverty is if you stay there, you're not able to reach your full potential. So it's really harmful on the person, on your personal psyche, and helping them reach their full potential is how they feel good about themselves, and they really help others also.
Oh, you know, I totally agree with that. But what is the federal poverty level?
Well, the federal poverty level is the amount of income for an individual or a family of four, and it varies by state and the number of people in your family, but it's not very high. For an individual, it might only be $13,000 or $15,000. I haven't looked at it real recently, so don't quote me on those numbers.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to give our listeners an understanding. I mean, it might be $13,000, $15,000, it might be $18,000, depending upon the state, but regardless of what state, if you have a family of four, you know that's very hard to be able to handle that family. It also means that if you have that, it's probably what you're spending in food for three or four kids. You're probably not seeing a doctor. Your kids aren't able to really educate themselves because you don't have enough money to keep them properly nourished. I think people need to understand if this is a cycle that people keep falling into because they can't get food stamps and other things, it's going to perpetuate itself. Isn't that correct?
Oh, absolutely. That's correct. It's a lot to do with culture, what we get used to. And so there's a couple of things in education we're trying to do in Idaho.
Okay.
For example, in the eighth grade, I'm encouraging the formation of an exploratory class. So eighth graders can start seeing what occupations are out there, how they become a plumber, how they become a doctor, what education is required. Do you go to a community college? Do you go into a trade union, for example, and how you become an apprentice. So students have an idea of the possibilities of what's in front of them, because there are lots of opportunities, even in high school, to begin like becoming a plumber's apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take college classes in high school so that when you go to college, if you want to become a teacher, you can have a year of college out of the way. But a lot of students don't know the options. They don't know how to do that, especially those that have parents that didn't go to college or maybe don't have a profession such as a plumber electrician.
Mm-hmm. So what you're really saying here is we want to create a program where in eighth grade, once they get out of the middle school, before they get into high school, they can understand what career options they have as opposed to, hey, I just got to go to high school. And by doing so, somebody can say, this is what I want to do. I understand this real well because when we went to a wedding in Michigan a long time ago, when my son was a sophomore in high school, we decided to take him to a college orientation for students who want to go in there. And one of the questions that was asked of the college, of the recruiter, was, I'm interested in being an engineer. What do I need to do? She basically says, we want to see that you want to be an engineer. You need to do things and take classes that say you want to be an engineer. So if you're doing band and you're not taking STEM, we would have an issue of you coming here because it says you're not committed to being an engineer. And my son took that to heart and went, okay. I mean, he was in band and all that stuff. He eliminated band because he really wanted to be an engineer. And now he's a senior in college. He's got great grades and he's going to be an electrical engineer. And the same thing happened for my daughter. And at that time, she was only in eighth grade. Boy, to see the mental shift take from realizing that I have a place that I want to go and I'm going to set my path towards there was a big shift. And I could see that in kids because they're very impressionable in the way of, what do I need to do? How do I need to do to get there? So I think that's a wonderful approach. And I love that.
Yeah, that's one of the great needs in any person's life is to get a sense of what I or what a student can become and do. That's one of the great things that a great teacher does is they inspire their students to accomplish something. If a student has a goal, then the rest of life can become much easier. It's students that feel discouraged or don't think they have a path forward. It's a lot easier to get into trouble.
Oh, I agree. You know, and what is it? I read a study about some countries in the Middle East where you have highly educated people that don't have jobs. They can't mm-hmm. go anywhere. And as such, they get very frustrated about the system and then they look for blame and the whole shot. So we obviously live in a wonderful country. But if we can give somebody purpose and a hope for a brighter future by their own actions, I think that's much better.
We have a program up here that's really kind of interesting, especially if you talk it in the circle of a liberal conservative paradigm.
Hey, Senator, could we need to take a break real quick. Could I have you hold that thought and we'll be right back?
Absolutely.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello and welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. We have Senator Stephen Thame of Idaho. We've been talking about the issues of poverty, education, and healthcare. It's just a wonderful sense of what is looking to hopefully happening in Idaho, what you're looking to do with eighth grade, with giving kids, help them find a direction, a path that they can take, what they need to do with that path to become a doctor, a plumber, or whatever it is, because then they have purpose. We were just finishing that segment, but I'd like to go back to the point you were about to make. I want to leave it to you and let you go with the point there, Senator.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. So if you come to the liberal conservative paradigm that we usually think in, I think we have some agreement actually between liberals and conservatives that we really want to build people. As we build people, then solutions appear. And quite often, one of the things that happens, especially in the media, is we focus on what we don't like. We focus on complaining. Mm-hmm. And one reason you don't hear from myself and I seldom in the news is because I try to focus on solutions. And solutions that actually build people so they can take care of themselves. So one of those is something called the Advanced Opportunities Program in Idaho. And that provides $4,125 to each public school student that they can use to take dual credit classes, AP tests, career technical education examinations, so they can get industry certificates. But they get to choose. So they take ownership over their own education. And some people say, well, that's an entitlement, kind of the liberal conservative paradigm. Mm-hmm. But it's really not, because it's building the responsibility and the ability of people to make decisions. We're just funding the good choices they make. Taking a college level course because they're working harder in high school is not your traditional entitlement, because you have to work to get it. And I think that's what a lot more people on the more liberal side are trying to do also is build people up. Their way of doing it might be different than what the conservatives are thinking of doing it. Mm-hmm. But if we focus on building the ability of people and increasing the ability to take care of themselves, then I think we can come to common ground. What's the solution? How can we do this? So it's the discussion that we really need to have on solutions, not complaining about what the other side is doing. Well, that doesn't go end well.
Well, it never does end well. And you could see the blood sport in the news with all that. So it's just, I call that good wolf, or that's bad wolf. We need the good wolf, and that we need to talk about solutions.
Right.
When it comes, the thing that I like about what you're saying is, and I believe in this term called positive expectancy. Mm-hmm. And what positive expectancy to me is somebody has, hey, I can accomplish this in the future. We just had Jackie Woodside on, who is a lady who basically was homeless through most of her college and ended up, getting a doctorate and all that stuff. But she knew later on that she was going to accomplish these things and be able to afford herself and grow her life and be productive. And I think regardless of what your situation is, if you have that positive expectancy, or you've been given the tools to believe, have the enthusiasm and energy to and determination to believe that that will happen for you, that makes all the difference in the world.
All right. I totally agree. So one area that we haven't talked about yet is healthcare.
Yes, let's do.
A couple of things that I've learned: about 70% of all healthcare costs, and everybody knows that healthcare costs are really high. Mm-hmm. They impact every family budget, every government budget. I mean, it's a big drain on the economy, and we're spending more money and seemingly not getting too much healthier. But the reason is because we're getting most of our care in the most expensive place, which is hospitals.
Yep.
So we have a hospital-centric system, and we're also not focusing on prevention. So what I'm recommending and encouraging people to do is, and there's a lot of organizations doing this, is to focus more on unlimited access to primary care. One name for that is a direct primary care or enhanced primary care, where a person can go to a clinic, a primary care provider, basically at no cost, and work on the prevention side. And if you can work on prevention, then you don't need the downstream costs. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need the costs associated with hospitals. Also, about 70% of all medical costs are from lifestyle choices. So if we can incentivize people to, you know, quit smoking or to exercise more or to do those, eat better, and there's some benefit for them to do that, then they will start making better choices, and they need to be rewarded for those better choices. But the focus has to be on increasing our primary care system. If you were to go to imagine you went 100 years ago to a very poor place in America or anywhere else in the world, about the first thing you do is make sure they had clean water and the sewage was disposed of. You wouldn't build a hospital first.
No.
So that's, I think we've gone past the basics and we've gone to the hospital rather than let's create access to primary care clinics, because that eventually that will drive down costs more than building more hospitals or having more access to hospitals.
So when we talk about primary care, we're talking about going in for annual checkups, physicals, things like that, so we can catch things early and prevent them before they become very expensive. And well, one of the big issues is when you have people who are on, Medicaid, they tend to go to the emergency room.
Correct.
And what you're saying is we want to have doctors and clinics set up to where they don't go to the emergency room. They just go to their primary care doctor.
Right. The reason they go to the emergency room, because under Medicaid, it usually doesn't cost anything to go to the emergency room, but to go to a primary care doctor might cost $30 or $40 or $50, depending on where they are and whatnot. So I'm suggesting, no, let's take away the expense from the primary care, as long as they're doing certain things like getting their annual checkup. And, you know, someone with diabetes, they should go in more regularly to make sure that their blood sugar levels are at the right place. But there are people that start getting sinus infections and they put it off, and then it becomes very costly because they don't want to spend the $20 or $30 to go to a primary care provider. Yeah. And if you have to pay it out of your own pocket, because we're talking about Medicaid, it might be $150. Well, that starts to be in a lot of money. So take away those access issues from primary care, and then we can deal with the more expensive hospital issues.
So in other words, what you're saying is if we have everybody focus on primary care and preventative care and lifestyle issues and incentivize them to take care of those things, we can reduce the expenses of major medical costs or the continued run into the emergency room, which is obviously very expensive, and reduce overall cost of healthcare on the individual. Because right now I know my family's healthcare costs is almost as much as our mortgage on a monthly basis. So it's crazy.
Yeah, there are options out there, and I'd encourage people to look for them. But it's a change of thinking in our own head that we really are responsible for our own health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blessing to have health insurance to take care of those expensive needs. But really, we are responsible to keeping ourselves healthy. And that's one of the things that I advocate for, is let's let people accept responsibility and then be rewarded for that. On the Advanced Opportunities Program, going back to education, those students get benefit by reducing their cost of college if they take the responsibility to work harder in high school, but it's their choice. Mm-hmm. We need to reward good behavior and just not take care of those that have found themselves in a bad place or even made poor decisions. We need to reward good decisions.
Yeah. And I think that's wonderful. If those programs are, if people have been communicated to or essentially marketed to in seventh and eighth grade, and in as a freshman in high school, and conditioned to go utilize those programs, I think we can get started on the right foot, so to speak.
Yes, I think we can.
Senator, I want to thank you for coming on the show and going through this with us, because you know what, you know I'm in California, you're in Idaho, we have a big homeless problem, poverty issues, and you know what, I would love for my state to take some of your ideas to help empower people and give them that positive expectancy that they can get out of their situation and deal with their issues as opposed to just kind of kicking the can down the road. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And it's a pleasure to visit some more. And and thank you for having me on the show.
And you know what? I don't know if I told you this before, but my daughter goes to Boise State. So next time I'm in town, I might look you up and say hi and just all that.
Well, let's do that because I represent an area that has a lot of hunting and fishing and it's beautiful. The sawtooths are in my area and maybe people don't necessarily know where the sawtooths are, but it's a beautiful mountain range up in central Idaho.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show. We'll hopefully see you here in the future.
Well, thank you. Hopefully we will.
Sounds good. Hey, stick with us. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking about romance scams and how to avoid them. We'll see you. Bye, Senator.
Bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Wasn't that great? We had Senator Stephen Thane on the show. He was talking about how to deal with poverty, homelessness through education, healthcare, and how to help people get that positive expectancy in their lives and lift themselves up. I said, one of their big goals is to make sure people can get to the point where they're at three times the level of poverty so they can really live their life and advance it for themselves, as opposed to always expecting government or having government pay for things. And I think that's a wonderful way to go. I love his thoughts on healthcare and education because if somebody can realize what they want to do early in life, the quicker they can get there and the quicker they can start being prosperous in that environment. So again, I want to thank you all for joining us. I appreciate you all. We hit over 337,000 listeners this last month, and we're looking for to grow that, to have a wonderful audience. Again, I want to say thank you to the friends and family for listening in and telling your friends about us. If you like the stories and the episodes and information that can be a benefit to your life, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. And check out our network affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, live a life of financial and personal freedom. Oh, by the way, you can follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Sexton Insiders Club. Again, if you'd like to see other episodes, go to the savingwithsteve.us at savingwithsteve.us to get replays and more. So let's talk about a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. It's how to avoid costly romance scams. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about and paint the picture about how this occurs. I'm going to tell you about three or four people I know that this has happened to them, okay? Because these romance scams have hit professional athletes, Heisman Trophy winners. They've hit actors, businessmen, CEOs. They've hit a lot of people. It's just that most people don't realize that the people who are perpetrating this con are professionals and they do it all the time and they have a lot of practice because they do it 24/7, okay? Romance scams since 2015 have tripled, costing people over $200 million. The romance scams in the last year with the pandemic are up 20%. I mean, AARP is putting out things. Now, here's the thing about a romance scam. A lot of people think it happens with a dating app and your dating profile. Well, it doesn't. Not just a dating app. It happens with, you could be on a Facebook friends group, like one of my clients, for cooking, or a Facebook friends group that was a religious site for helping people that were poor and downtrodden. It could be on a wine club site. Basically, here's what the scam is, okay? So you have a profile on there. It could be a dating or whatever profile for whatever group you're with or whatever site you're on. It up prompts a promising match. Okay, person's good looking, smart, funny, and personable. The potential mate or interaction that you're having claims to live in another part of the country, or be abroad on business, or deployed in the military. They seem smitten with you. They say you're good looking. They like your cooking, your ideas for recipes, or they connect with you on LinkedIn, that type of stuff. And they're eager to get to know you better. At some point, Dine, they suggest to move your relationship to private channels like emails or chat apps. Over weeks or months, you feel yourself growing closer. You make plans to meet in person. And for the person, your new love that you're looking to meet, something seems to always pop up or come up and he can't meet you. And then an urgent message request, or you find out about a business that they're working in and they're looking for additional investment. And it's one of those can't miss businesses. Okay. And then, you know, it's either an emergency, medical problem, business crisis, and that online companion of yours needs you to wire him some money. I need help. I want you, you know what? And he or she will promise to pay you back, but they never do. Instead, they keep asking you for some more money until you realize you've been had. Now, I want to talk to you about a couple of people. One gentleman that I know has a great heart, very big in his church. He works with homeless. He works with food pantries, and he has a soft heart for anybody in a bad situation. So he connected with a woman online who was in an abusive relationship, and he just thought he was being a support person for her to where she could type and go back and forth. Okay. She got to the point where they were doing the email stuff. And she said, you know what, I'm trying to move. I don't have any money. And he goes, wait, I'll help you in any way that I can. She goes, no, I don't need your help. I'll make this happen. And she positioned herself to get him to ask 2-3 times. And she finally said, you know what, I need a couple $1,000 so I can move to another place. And then she needed a couple $1,000 more, a couple $1,000 more. It turned into $20,000. Now, this is very detrimental for him. Because one, his wife found out what he was doing. She wasn't upset by the way he was trying to help somebody, but she was upset by the way that he got taken for as much money as he did. Okay. The second person, she was actually a financial client of ours, and we were helping her manage her IRAs and all that kind of good stuff. And she came to us and said, hey, you know what? I need to take $100,000 out. I don't care what it costs. I need to get it. And I said, well, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. She says, well, I've met this person and he's in New York. He's a doctor. He's got this wonderful business. And I have the ability to contribute $100,000 and be issued family and friend shares. I can't really tell anybody about it. And I said, stop. You need to go talk to the police about this. You need to find out if this is real. You need to find out if you're being scammed. She says, no, just give me my money. We got her the money and she invested it with him. And then about 4 months later, she got another $50,000 out, and we still encouraged her and sent her emails and stuff about romance scams and everything. Not me. And then she finished gutting her IRA. No more money in there. And then she realized she had been scammed because she couldn't get a hold of the individual anymore. It wasn't until the police, or not the police, but the IRS said, hey, you owe $70,000 because you gutted your IRA, that she finally told the FBI, the police, filed a police report and all that stuff, so she didn't have to pay the taxes on the decision that she made. And so, you know, This destroyed her financially because she had recently stopped working. It had been about a year and a half or two since she had stopped working. And you know what, besides a small pension and Social Security, she had to get a reverse mortgage to create more income so she could have some sort of retirement. The scam devastated her, and it devastated another one of my clients as well, who had to turn around, who thought she was going to be able to retire early, but had to go back to work. And it was a similar situation, and they just didn't lose $15, $20. We're talking a couple $100,000. And it wasn't actually through dating apps. The other person, it was an art group that she was involved in. And one of my clients actually met a gentleman who does the romance scam in person. And he does it with seniors because he's one of those older people who looks a little bit younger, real well fit, passes himself as a doctor and all that stuff. Needed a little bit of money, milks them for $40,000, $50,000 and moves. So here's a couple do's that you want to follow. And then I'm going to give you the don'ts and then the tools. The do's: do take it slowly. Ask your partner, potential partner, a lot of questions and watch for inconsistencies that might reveal an imposter. If somebody you're asking a direct question to, always change the subject or redirect it to something about you. Hey, something's up. Do check photos. Go to Google, search images, image features. And you know what? If the picture pops up with multiple persons' names or on a scammer's website, guess what? You know, be very wary of flirtatious and overly complimented emails. Paste the text on a search engine to see whether the same words show up on websites for scammers. Now, cut off the communication immediately if you suspect the individual may be a swindler. Do not, you know, do notify the dating sites and make the and the maker of the app so they understand what's going on so they can kick that person off. But don't feel a false sense of safety because you're the one who made first contact, okay? Scammers are professionals. They're flooding dating sites and all sorts of websites with fake profiles and waiting for victims to come to them. Don't reveal too much about your personal information in a dating profile or anywhere else or someone you're chatting with online, because scammers can just exploit those details, especially your last name, where they use to manipulate you so to commit identity theft. Okay, hey, they're looking to steal your money. Don't ever give an online acquaintance an intimate photo because it can be used to extort you. Don't send cash to someone you chat with online. Put money in a reload gift card for the person. You'll never get it back. And utilize tools like therealme.com where you can check out somebody's background, or to go to spokeo.com to see if the email you're receiving is actually the one you're talking about. Okay. Report people to the FBI, the Federal Trade Commission, AARP, any scamming website you can find, because you know what? It's going to save your money and the ones you love, because that way nobody else can take taking advantage of them. Now, I want to thank you all for joining us today. We had Jackie Woodside talking about the money vibe. Senator Stephen Thane talk about how to solve homelessness and poverty through education, healthcare, and many other things. And those adjustments area, they can make a big difference. It's about giving people a positive expectancy for their life. You know what? You know what? That's our show for today. Stick with us. We'll be back next week. And I want to thank you for, again, joining us, our listeners up to 337,000. And look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.